We have looked at verses 8 to 11 regarding the work of the Holy Spirit amongst the world, the unbelieving world. That work of the Spirit that reproves the world of sin, sin of unbelief, that reproves the world of the righteousness of Christ, that not only have they sinned against God for not believing in the one whom he has sent, but they have actually crucified the one whom God has sent, thereby proving the words of Scripture that Christ said to his disciples in John 15, verse 25, that they hated me without a cause, that itself being a quotation from Psalm 69, verse 4. And then reproving the world of judgment, the prince of this world has been judged, so all who remain in their unrepentant, sinful state, they too then deserve that judgment that falls upon their father, the devil. So now in verses 12 to 15, we're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in connection with the church. And this morning I just want to look at verses 12 and 13, the immediate action of the Spirit of God. In verse 12, we notice, first of all, the limitations of the disciples. Many things I have yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. First of all, we've already looked at the evidence of their limitations in that throughout chapters 14 and 15, Christ has sought to give comfort to them and reassurance to them that while he would have to leave them, while he would depart and go to his Father in heaven, that the Holy Spirit would come in his place. He would be a comforter to them. He would be one who would strengthen and fortify them, one who would be a guide and teach them. And while Christ was with them personally, yet the Holy Spirit would come and abide in their hearts and in him. And they would follow Christ, and by that power and aid of the Holy Spirit, they would bear fruit for Christ's sake with the glory and honor of God their Father. And by that Spirit, their joy and peace in Christ might be filled. So he spent some time trying to bring comfort and reassurance to his disciples. And yet, in verse 6 of chapter 16, he acknowledges that sorrow has filled their heart. They were slow to learn. They were slow to pick up and grasp all that he had said. I suppose you can say a lot of it had gone over their heads and they didn't even stop to ask. In verse 5, now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh of me, where will there goest thou? He didn't inquire any further, he didn't inquire any deeper, didn't seek any greater depth of understanding of what was going on. And so we see their limitations. And we all have these limitations. We don't possess a full knowledge of God, a full understanding, or full spiritual wisdom. And so there are things that we are not able to bear. The disciples were not able to bear yet. There was much more to tell them, but they were not yet able to bear that now. Then secondly, they're unable to bear it because, as Christ goes on to say, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, they were unable to bear it because they had not received the full outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hence, we need the necessity of the Holy Spirit to understand the things of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, we read, now we have received, not of the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God has knowledge to give to us, to impart to us, but we cannot acquire that by the spirit of the world. But we need the Spirit of God to help us to understand that. Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given by God. Verse 13 goes on, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. So Paul is teaching the Corinthians not the words of man's wisdom, but that wisdom of God that comes from the Holy Spirit. He teaches. So they needed the Holy Spirit to help them in teaching. Things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. So it's coming from the Holy Ghost that they may teach others, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And verse 14 goes on, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we need the aid of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the things of God. And so they cannot bear all that Christ had to teach them until the Holy Spirit had come. But then thirdly, there is the not being able to bear it because we have not applied ourselves to understanding Scripture. For example, in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you, now are you able. The Corinthians were as a young church, and they could not bear all that Paul had to teach them. He starts off with the basics, like a little child is not fed with meat, but fed with milk. So they could not bear all that Paul was able to teach them, but he fed them with milk. They were young in the faith. They didn't understand many doctrines, many the teachings of Christ. So he fed them like a babe with milk, beginning with the basics, that they would then grow and mature, older, and as they lived the Christian life. But that's in contrast with Hebrews 5, verses 11 to 14. Excuse me, verse 12 of Hebrews 5. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Paul's saying here that they had received knowledge and understanding to such an extent that they now ought to have been teachers themselves, passing on their knowledge to others. But they have neglected so much. They have not exercised that work of studying the Word of God. They've forgotten so much. They've now regressed to the point where they need someone to come and teach them again the first principles of God. They have become such as need milk. They become like little babies. It's like they've forgotten all they've learned and they need to start back in primary school. They have not applied themselves as they ought to have applied themselves and progressed. Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, verse 13, grieve not the Holy Spirit, but embrace the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit of God, and apply that yourselves to learning more and more. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Don't turn aside from the Spirit of God. Do not depend upon yourself, but listen to, be guided and be directed by the Spirit of God. So there is a sense of personal responsibility in applying ourselves to seeking a fuller measure of the Holy Spirit, that we increase in knowledge and in wisdom of God and an obedient and dependent work or walk in the Spirit. That's one of the prayers that Paul had for the Colossians in Colossians 1 verse 9, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. They had received not the Holy Spirit, they had received knowledge, they had received wisdom and understanding, but that they would be filled, that there would be that increase in the knowledge of God's will, knowledge of his wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we are to apply ourselves. Whatever we have, we go further and progress and mature in our Christian walk. And then secondly, verse 13, we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. See, first of all, his title, the Spirit of Truth. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come. We see here the link between the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is Christ's representative on earth. As Christ would depart from this earth, from this world, to go to his Father in heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit in his place. The Holy Spirit is a fully suitable replacement for Christ, who is now seated at the Father's right hand. Romans 8, verses 9 and 10, he is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. He is the Holy Spirit, he's the third person of the Trinity, when he's come in the Spirit of Christ. So he's not separate from Christ, he doesn't operate differently from Christ. He's come to guide him and guide the disciples into all things that Christ had taught them. He is the Spirit of Truth, in that Christ himself is the truth. John 14, verse 6, as Christ is the truth, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. So truth is linked in both the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and verse 14 tells us that Christ is the Word. Christ, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 17, the Word of God is truth, thy Word is truth. So Christ is the Word is truth, Christ is truth. You see the link between Christ, the Word of God, and truth. And then Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1, verse 21, the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, he moved the prophets to write down the Word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he is the Spirit of truth. The Word is truth. And so the Spirit, the author of truth, giving that truth to the prophets and the apostles to write the word down. So the Spirit is connected to the truth, connected to the word. So it's a connection between Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. We see also his ongoing activity. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. So the Holy Spirit is one who guides the people of God. He leads them. He shows them. He reveals things to them. He directs them according to the truth of God's word. He doesn't drive us. He doesn't get behind us and drive us and force us along. Neither does he get in front of us and hold us and drag us along and that we grow in truth. But he leads and guides and directs us. There is our involvement in our own development of growth and knowledge and understanding, humbly submitting to his wise counsel. Psalm 73, we opened up with verse 23, thou, with thy counsel, while I live, wilt me conduct and guide. God conducts us and guides us, directs us by his Spirit. And we are to submit ourselves to his wise counsel. willingly following where he leads. We may not understand why you're down a particular path, but he is the Spirit of truth. And so we humbly submit to his wise counsel and willingly follow. He guides us and we follow. It's like Christ, who is the shepherd. He leads his sheep, and the sheep who know his voice follow him. Similarly, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, guides us and we follow. We were blind, but he instructs us and teaches us. He shows us the way to go. We were ignorant. He fills us with knowledge. We were lost, and he keeps us upon that right path. So he guides us in the way that we should go. That ongoing activity of the Holy Spirit guiding the people of God. We notice also that he will guide you into all truth. Not partial truth. He'll not leave any pieces of God's truth out. He will not neglect some truths and focus upon other truths. But he will guide us into all truth. All of it was given for a purpose. And he will guide us into all truth. While some truths are more important than others, are essential, they're foundational to the faith, it's not the Holy Spirit to say, doesn't matter about that part, leave it aside, ignore it. That's not what he does. He guides us into all truth. He will not diminish any part of it, but will lead us into all of it. We notice also that it is all truth, singular. It's not truths. It's not that he will lead us into all knowledge of science or all knowledge of history or all knowledge of anything else, but it's all truth, into all truth. That is the revealed truth, the word of God that God has purposed to give to us. William Henderson says he will lead us into the whole body of redemptive revelation. So he will lead us to full knowledge of the Word of God. So he will guide you into all truth. We see thirdly his cooperation. For he shall not speak of himself. He will not act independently of the Lord Jesus Christ or of God the Father. He will not come and give his own words. Now, these words mirror the words of Christ himself. In John 14, verse 10, Christ says, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." So he will not speak of himself any more than Christ will speak of himself. That we speak independently of the Father, they're working together. And what words will the Holy Spirit speak? Whatever, but whatsoever he shall hear. The Holy Spirit speaks of the words that he hears. Again, this is what Christ tells us in John 15, verse 15. "For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." So he speaks the things that he has heard of Christ. He speaks the things he has heard of the Father. They're working together, not independently, not against each other. So there's a cooperation of the Holy Spirit with God the Father and with the Son. And then also he will show us his future activity. That shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. In John 14, verse 26, Christ tells us that the Holy Spirit, when he has come, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall speak, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So all the things that Christ has taught in the past, he will bring to their remembrance. In John 15, verse 26, he says, "Well, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." He shall speak of all that Christ has done. He shall speak of his redemptive work on the cross. He shall speak of his sacrifice. He shall speak of his resurrection and ascension to eternal life. In the present, he'll glorify Christ's work in the present. But then in John 16:13, he shall also show you things that will have yet to come, things that will come to pass. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 spends that whole chapter speaking of the glory of the body, the future glory of the body. That there are things that we learn in this chapter about what will happen at the coming of Christ. What happens to the bodies of those who have died? That which is spirit, that which is natural takes on spirituality. That which is heavenly or earthly will take on that which is heavenly. That which is corruptible will take on incorruption. That which is mortal will put on immortality. Speaking of things to come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he speaks of events that will come to pass shortly before his coming again, his the day of the coming of the day of the Lord. Things that should come to pass. The man of perdition. The mystery of iniquity. The wicked being revealed. These are things that have yet to happen. And the Holy Spirit, as we have here recorded in Scripture, has brought this to pass, showing them things that will come to pass, revealing to them things that will have yet to happen. And then primarily, in the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit has written the book of Revelation of things that have yet to come. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. So here's a revelation of Christ of things that must shortly come to pass. And when it's a revelation of Christ and what he will be doing, it is given by the Holy Spirit. We read in verse 19. Paul or John is instructed to write the things which thou hast seen, things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So he's the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, is not just to remember, to bring to our remembrance things that Christ has said in the past, not just to glorify Christ here in the present, but of things yet to come. So it's a revelation of Christ, but it's given by the Holy Spirit. And we see that in verses, chapters 2 and 3, as he has written to the seven churches, each one ends with, "Let him who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation 2:7. "He hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Verse 11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Verse 17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and give him a white stone, and a stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Verse 29, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And we have the same in chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, and verse 22. And so that's the activity of the church, of the Holy Spirit in the church of Jesus Christ. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will speak not of Himself, He will speak of all that He has heard from the Father and from the Son. And He will show you things to come concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and His second coming. I was intending to do verses 14 and 15, but I thought this was long enough and I wasn't sure whether I'll hold out, so I'll close now at verse 13, and God willing, a later occasion when I have a wee bit better voice, I'll continue on at verses 14 and 15. And the work of the church, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. But we have here His guidance, His working with Christ, His cooperation, His unity of the Godhead, speaking only that which He has heard from the Father and from His Son, teaching, instructing, and also revealing things yet to come concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll close our service this morning. We turn to Psalm 25. And it's the first version, singing verses 4 to 10. And the tune is Selma, number 161. Psalm 25, verses 4 to 10. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Thy paths, O teach thou me. And do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. Thou art God that dost to me salvation send, and I upon thee all the day expecting to attend. Psalm 25, verses 4 to 10, standing to praise God.